Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
So good, so good, so good.
New markdowns are on at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save even more, up to 70% on dresses, tops, boots, and handbags to give and get.
Because I always find something amazing.
Just so many good brands.
I get an extra 5% off with my Nordstrom credit card. Total queen treatment.
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock our best deals. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you rack.
Your team. Adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff.
Wait,
with Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
Let's get to cooking. It's week 8 kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. Booms, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Mike. And week 8 means that we have 6 teams on a bye. So the Lions, the Raiders, the Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, and Jaguars are all on a bye in week 8. And that means we have a little bit more time to talk about some of these other games and some of these other issues that are starting to pop up around the NFL.
Yeah, I also think it's a good public service. I think America says thank you that the Raiders are on bye. We'll get to them a little later. Let's talk Thursday Night Football, shall we? I have to bring this up. I have completely soured on another defensive coordinator, and it's not Shane Bowen. We'll get to him momentarily. Brian Flores. I mean, Boomer, I need your spin on it because I'm telling you, I see it twice a year in Detroit. Jared Goff cuts this guy apart. Any good quarterback cuts this guy apart. I'm so tired of hearing what a genius he is. I mean, last night, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 15, 3rd and goal from the 10, spits the bit every time. Last week against Philly, you got to work real hard to allow 300 yards to the Eagles in the air. Guys are running wide open. I could have put you on a rollerboard. You would have caught an 8-yard slant. What am I missing here with the perceived genius and then what I'm getting on the field as the Vikings got their doors blown?
You know, I was actually wondering whether or not you were going to bring up the Isaiah Rodgers non-interception because we've had a number of these different types of plays. And to me, that was a game-changing, momentum-changing play, of course, because he would have returned it for a touchdown and maybe the game is a little bit different. I think Minnesota is going through a transition right now. They're not really sure about their quarterback, and obviously Carson Wentz was playing banged up last night, and he got hit a lot. So their offense is not putting up the numbers that I think Brian Flores has been used to over the last couple of years, and it's one of the things now that is exposing their defense. So and think about for 1 minute the Chargers. The Chargers, yes, coming into this game finally were getting a little bit more healthy, and it almost felt like it was a setup spot for the Vikings. You know, on one of my sports minutes, I usually do a preview of the Thursday night game. I thought the Chargers were going to win. I had them winning 27-20, covering the number, and I thought that Justin Herbert was going to have a big game here because Joe Alt was going to be back in the lineup.
Yeah, and they've been playing for weeks without Pipkins and Ault. You could see it. It changed the whole offense. Joe Ault's presence last night, even though he got banged up, toughed his way through it, makes an unbelievable difference. One of the best young tackles in the league. If they get their offensive line healthy, obviously, you want to get the running game and some of your pieces there. They're just a different team. If that O-line's right, they can beat somebody in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, too, now is to think about Minnesota. You know, it doesn't look like to me they're going to make it back to the playoffs. I know we're only in week eight, and there's a lot of football left to be played, and maybe the next time that we see them, we'll see J.J. McCarthy as their starting quarterback. I don't know if that's any difference than Carson Wentz, but it's certainly not what Sam Darnold did last year. So there's also the thought that, and I don't know about how you feel about this, should they trade back for Kirk Cousins if they can?
No, no. You know, Boomer, I'm biased. I'm not going to die on this hill. If you say, Mike, it's a good idea and you're an idiot, I could accept that. I don't think you can go home again. And I don't think Cousins has anything left.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just saying that there are those whispers out there simply to see if they could save the Vikings season.
Trade for Jameis. He's available for a low price.
I don't think it happens. I would think that the Vikings are going to stand pat, and they're going to give it to J.J. McCarthy, and they're going to give him the rest of the year to see whether or not, you know, he warrants them bringing him back next year.
Hey, worst case, it goes badly, you draft a quarterback and replace him. You want to get to the rundown?
The NFL Rundown.
Well, we have to begin what we were discussing off the air. Let's just take it to the air. We begin with the disaster in Denver. Boomer, you start.
Well, first of all, thank you for not texting me during this game because you are annoying when you're texting and the Giants are losing, especially in real time. And I know you were doing your real time podcast at the moment, which obviously had a profound effect on your personality.
Yes.
You know, here's a couple things. And this thing has been talked about 1,000 different ways already this week. Two things that I say. Number one, Brian Daboll did not handle it right on offense when they were up 10 points and Denver was using their timeouts. Instead of throwing on third down and putting your rookie quarterback in a situation where the only thing that he couldn't do, he ended up doing, throwing the interception, and that started this, you know, the whole momentum shift in that game. You could have just ran it there. If you didn't make a first down, they use their timeout, their final timeout, and then you punt it, and then they got to go 80 yards. Look, you're two scores up, that amount of time left in a game, they mismanaged it from that standpoint. The other part of it is the defensive part, and the defense fell apart in a huge road game once again. If you remember back in week two, it was the Cowboys. Week three, it's this, week seven, it's now the Denver Broncos. And I don't know if this is going to make you feel any better or not, Mike, but Shane Bowen, the defense coordinator of the Giants, did come out and basically take full responsibility of not putting the players in their best spots possible. I would say he was covering for the players because the players could have made a play on that last pass. And there were four Giants that were right in the area to make the play, and none of them did.
How is Bowen not fired? That's just, and I'm not being flippant when I say it. How is it because Daboll's already replaced the DC, and you're not going to let him do it again? How is this guy still here?
Well, I mean, I know in reality, when you look at it, and you look at the performance, and you look at the collapses in these two games, and these last moment scores where they're only rushing three, and they're playing prevent defense. I can understand your frustration as a Giant fan. There's no question about it. But in real terms, unless a guy, and I know when I say this, you could probably roll in your eyes. Unless a guy is completely incompetent, he's not going to lose his job in the middle of the season. That's just not going to happen.
No, and I'm not going to freak out about it because they're headed nowhere fast. They've already blown the opportunity to have the optimistic season we thought they could have. Maybe hang around. Give us wait for it. December football. They've blown that opportunity with the Dallas game, with this game. I'd even throw in whatever the hell they did against Washington open the season. I can let it go. Where does this put Daboll? Do you think this changed the trajectory at all?
I think we got to see these next six games, and their schedule is murderous. Lethal. It's one of the hardest schedules in the league, and they got to go to Philadelphia this week, who woke up last week against Minnesota. But I just, you know, they're... Jackson Dart has been such a positive influence on all of this, even though they've lost two road games, one in New Orleans and one in Denver. He may have shown enough to be able to keep Daboll's job, and maybe they go in a different direction defensively next year.
Okay, let's go to the Eagles. You mentioned they woke up. That's because old slump buster came to town, Brian Flores. Passing game erupts. Here's the problem. A.J. Brown is still not happy. And look, you played in a lot of different locker rooms with a lot of different teams at different points on that success arc, right? These guys seem to feed on chaos. I almost start to wonder if they generate the chaos. Take me inside the Eagles organization, because these guys are something else.
Well, first and foremost, I think there were 30 snaps where Jalen Hurts was under center this past week, and maybe they found something. Maybe they went back and looked at some old film, old tape, and saw some of the things that he was doing better, play-action passing, rolling out, things of that nature, seven-man protections, keep the downfield decisions pretty relatively easy, and maybe that's one of the things that straightened them out of last week. Now, the Eagles are the only team, get this, since 1940 to start 5-2 or better while being outgained in every single game. Now, where they are good is their red zone TD percentage, although they haven't scored a lot of points. When they do get into the red zone, they do score. And they only have 3 turnovers this offseason. And that's the second fewest in the NFL. It's one of the reasons why they have a winning record. I will say this about A.J. Brown. He seems like a great guy. He's unhappy like most wide receivers are when they're not involved in the game plan. I'm not sure he's going to be playing this week against the Giants. As you and I talk right now, it's been reported he's dealing with a hamstring injury. And maybe they feel like they don't need him to beat the Giants because the Giants aren't that great in pass defense. So we'll see if he plays this week. I think the win really helps them, and I think they are in a completely different headspace going into this game than they were when they played them about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday night. So I could see them blowing the Giants out here.
All right, you mentioned headspace. What a difference a few weeks make for the Bears. Ben Johnson, the message seems to be taking hold. The system is. The offensive line is gelling. 4 straight wins. I'm not telling you it's murderer's row. Their next 3, at Baltimore, at Cincy, home for the Giants. If you don't believe they could be a playoff team now, what do they got to do in the next 3 weeks for you to believe?
I think 2 out of 3. Now, Lamar Jackson is 24-3 against the NFC in his career, and that's the highest win percentage by a quarterback in non-conference games since the merger, and that's a minimum of 15 starts. He's lost 2 of his last 3 games, however, against the NFC, and that would be Detroit and, of course, Philadelphia. The thing about Lamar, he's coming back. He's off of an injury. They're coming back off of a bye. Everything that I'm seeing, reading, and hearing out of Baltimore is that everybody's had a major reset. And that major reset starts with their defense. And now that they have Lamar back on the field, I feel like this is a setup spot for the Bears.
Okay.
And by the way, the Bears are trolling the Ravens by playing ping pong in their locker room.
Yeah, not bright.
Not bright. And now I think they're kicking the Bear, and I would be careful.
I want to give you this, and it may not work this week. This is what people don't understand about Ben Johnson. There's a swagger. There's I'll just say it. There's an arrogance. There's a cockiness. And I like that the Bears are at least starting to look like they care about playing football. I'm with you. Take 2 of the next 3, and you're headed for the playoffs. The one thing that makes me nervous, and I know we'll get into it down the line, I'm sure, Caleb still has a lot of bad habits. Nobody leaves the pocket unnecessarily more than him. It's driving me nuts.
And by the way, his completion percentage is going down. This is a league, and Ben Johnson had said this going into the season. His goal for Caleb Williams is to complete 70% of his passes. He wants him on the trajectory of Drake May. And he's actually gotten worse the last couple weeks. Yeah. And the reason for that is because of what you just pointed out. So he's got to get better. They're winning. Their defense has made some really good plays. Their special teams has been really involved here in helping them win. But there's no question that Caleb Williams has got to be a much better player than he is.
Let me give you something positive, and I know it won't happen, but I think it's important we highlight it for all the you-know-what this guy takes. Dak Prescott should absolutely, today, be in the MVP conversation. 7 games in, you got 1,700 yards, 16 touchdowns, 3 picks, and he's powering the best offense in the league. He's playing incredible football. Can he keep it up?
I think he can, and I think he's going to have to because their defense is certainly hamstring.
Suboptimal.
Right, and if they're going to win, they're going to have to score over 30 points per game. And I've been saying it here in New York that he's been playing MVP-style football. When you take a look at the MVP favorites entering Week 8 right now, It's Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, it's Drake May, and it's Baker Mayfield. And I'm like, where is Dak Prescott? Right. I mean, his play has been phenomenal. The entire organization is on his shoulders. And the good news for them is that they got CeeDee Lamb back, and he got right back in the mix like he hadn't missed any games. So I would say you're right, 100%. He will be in the conversation, especially now that they've gotten themselves back into the playoff hunt.
All right, combo meal. You know, I know you like lists and, you know, pressure points and indexes. So I go, all right, let me lump. I'm going to bundle these together. All right. Four perceived good teams. Which one of them concerns you the most? They're in the most trouble. I give you the Commanders, the Steelers, the Jags, and Atlanta. Which one?
So the number one on that list for me, give it to me one more time.
Washington,
yeah.
Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Atlanta.
All right, Washington's number one on that list simply because they're not going to have Jaden Daniels Monday night in Kansas City. Most likely another loss. It's going to be Marcus Mariota going there. They're probably going to get blown out. I think Atlanta's at the bottom of that list. I still think they have a very good team. I think they're going to be really difficult to beat in their building.
What was that against San Francisco?
Yeah, I know. What was that? I mean, that was a game that they needed to win. We talked about being fraudulent. We talked about making a name for yourself and beating a team when they are down, especially when it comes to injuries. But they turned into the Atlanta Falcons again. That's what's wrong with that team. And I don't think they'll lose this week. That's actually one of my picks of the week is they host the Miami Dolphins, who are an implosion waiting to happen. I don't know about the Steelers. The Steelers, I think, are an average middling team. I don't think that they are a Super Bowl-worthy or caliber team at this moment. Maybe they make a trade, add another wide receiver. Maybe they add another defensive back. But I think they're a good team. I think they are a playoff team. So I'm not gonna say that they're not going to make the playoffs. I think they will.
Yeah, Washington's one for me, but Jacksonville's right behind it. I mean, they got that win over Kansas City, and it just feels like they packed it in. I mean, last week was an embarrassment, and here's the thing. When you live on turnovers, there's volatility. It's hard to run a defense. It's like what the Bears are doing right now, by the way. You know, the Bears have been forcing a ton of turnovers. When those turnovers go away, can you just play a clean game and beat somebody on the square? Getting very concerned. And you know where I'm at with the Trevor Lawrence thing. It's painful to watch.
It is painful to watch. And I'll tell you, you talk about it, and thank God they got a bye this week. But when he comes back, he's one of those players that is going to be under the glaring spotlight of are you going to be able to get your team to the playoffs? Right now, it looks like Indy's going to run away with that division. And if Daniel Jones can stay healthy and they just take care of business at home, that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I can't. You know what? Next week marks the halfway point. We've got to do the pressure index. This is a Boomer Esiason classic. We got to do it. So that's your homework assignment.
Okay, got it.
Who's under the most pressure as we hit the halfway mark? All right, we got a lot to do, including we are coming together on something. Scones, we're going to see if Boomer will hold hands with us and walk into the fire of our pick of the week because Scones and I agree on something. We got a ton to do. Best game of the week, and of course, the full NFL slate. All of that and more is coming up next. We do it every week. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valeni.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Tonight, turn down the noise of the day and focus on the rest with AGZ, the nightly drink for winding down and resting up. New from AG1. AGZ supports your body's natural sleep cycle with clinically studied key herbs, adaptogens, and minerals in amounts supported by research. And no melatonin, helping you wake feeling rested. Wind down, rest up with AGZ. Learn more at drinkagz.com.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, nice week for the boys last week. Got some challenging games, a lot of big spreads, and we have what could be the first unified pick of the week of the season for this show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
Took till week 8. Let's do the picks.
Picks of the week.
All right, we begin in what we're calling the Charade Bowl. Atlanta laying 7.5 to Miami. Both these teams are something else. Boomer, what do you want to do?
You know what? I'm going to stick with the Atlanta Falcons. They are at home. I know that they're coming off of a bad loss that makes for a long week, makes for a lot of question marks surrounding your team. But no team has more question marks right now than the Miami Dolphins. I mean, they are one matchstick away from an implosion. Now, this would be a huge win for them. This would be an upset for them. This is a big number. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. I'll lay the 7.5 points. I could see Atlanta scoring at least 30 points in this game.
If they don't, there should be an investigation. I'll take Atlanta. Here's my question. How much longer is this charade in Miami going to go on?
Yeah, they're not going to do anything during the season because I don't necessarily know that there's anybody on that staff that can take over. So I would think that they're going to ride this thing all the way out. And then, unfortunately, for Mike McDaniel, it looks like it is the end. I think it's apparent to all of us. But then again, you never know what Stephen Ross and what he may do. He is an impatient owner. There's no question about that. But I don't necessarily know that he's going to do anything during the season.
Just pull up Jeff Saturday. Call Mercury Morris up.
I mean, honestly, or put Dan Marino on the sideline.
I don't. Exactly. Who cares?
He's in the front office, so he's there.
Let's go to the Ravens and Bears. Boomer has coined this a setup spot. Ravens laying 6.5.
It is a setup spot for the Bears. I think Lamar Jackson and Roquan Smith is back. This is the first time he's going to be playing the team that traded him to the Ravens. And he should thank the Bears for doing that because when he went to the Ravens, he actually went to a winning team. So I like the Ravens here. I think they're coming off of this bye. There's this whole newfound of a feeling of resetting. And we just talked about Caleb Williams in the previous segment about how his completion percentage is going down. So this is going to be a rough game for the Bears on offense, and I do think that the Ravens defense shows up here. I will lay the points, and I will take the home team, the Ravens.
I think the Ravens win, but it's too many points. I can't. And look, the Bears' offensive line is gelled. The Ravens have to show they can stop the run. So I'll walk into the buzzsaw. Give me the Bears, 6.5. Patriots laying 7.5 against the Browns. Real life, not with your money.
Right.
No way.
I agree. I don't want to pick the game, or I wouldn't pick the game, but I will pick the game just simply because I think what's happening in New England is legit. I think now they can win the AFC East. We've watched them take care of two teams that they were supposed to win against on the road, and they did that. This is a game here they are expected to win at home. The one thing I will say about the Cleveland Browns, their defense is a royal pain in the ass for everybody. And they will make it tough on Drake May. I mean, the amount of passes that he is completing, the percentages are great. The lack of interceptions are awesome. And the other aspect of his game that I love is his ability to run with the football, and he doesn't do it in a stupid way. He's not like Jackson Dart looking for contact.
No, he's tactical.
He is very tactical, and I love the kid, and I love what they're doing, so I'm going to take the Patriots.
I just hate laying 7.5 against that defense. In what should do you agree with me this would be a race to 20?
I do, but the other thing, too, is that it is a rookie quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, going against the much-improved New England Patriot defense. Remember, no team spent more money this offseason or this past offseason than the Patriots did, and almost all of that money was spent on defense.
Everything says Browns, but I'll go Pats with you. It's a 4-foot-tall quarterback against a real team. I'll go Patriots, but gross. Eagles laying 7.5. They host the Giants.
You know, I'm thinking that A.J. Brown's not going to play. I'm going to take the Giants, and I will take the points. The Giants are so much more competitive physically than they have been in 3 years. And I feel like I've said this now the last 3 weeks, and a lot of that has to do with Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, but their defense needs to pick it up. Their pass defense has been atrocious against good throwing quarterbacks. Just because they've had one good week of throwing, I need to see a few more weeks before I'm ready to anoint the Eagles the best team in the NFC. So yeah. I'm not ready to do that just yet. I think the Eagles will probably win, but I think the Giants will make it competitive and keep it close.
Yeah, just one side note, too. If it would not be an inconvenience, could Dexter Lawrence show up this season at some point?
Yeah, well.
I'm just saying, Boomer, come on, man. Like, I mean, I love Dexie, but he's been a ghost. Sorry, he's not. Outside of the Charger game, he's been below average. I'll take the Giants because I hate the Eagles. I can't take anymore. Mm-hmm. Texans laying 1.5 against the Niners.
Okay, this is a strange one, but, you know, Kyle Shanahan should be in the discussion for NFL Coach of the Year, given all that he has dealt with, how many games that they have won, two different quarterbacks, Mac Jones rejuvenated. He didn't throw that many passes last week, and they still won. Look, Houston has one of the best defenses in football. This is going to be a low, tight scoring game. We do not like the offensive line of where the Texans are. I don't like the way that C.J. Stroud has been playing. I'm going to take the 49ers, and I will take the points. I'll take the 1.5 points.
Damn it, we're head-to-head. I just can't. I don't know how the Niners are doing it. It goes beyond Shanahan's brilliance. I mean, you lose a Fred Warner, you lose a Bosa. I just think long-term it catches up with you. I'm gonna go with the Texans here. I can't. It's smoke and mirrors. Give me the Texans. Bills laying 7.5. They travel to Carolina. Boomer, I can tell you this is Scone's pick of the week. This is one of my picks of the week. Will you join hands with us with America's Panthers?
I want to hear Scones' explanation because I had this game picked on my show on Friday in WFAN in New York, and I want to hear his explanation to see if he could talk me out of what I did. So, Scones, have at it.
Well, who'd you take? You took Carolina? You took the Bills?
Oh, I took Carolina and the 7.5 points.
Well, you're right. So I'm not talking you out of anything. I'm taking Carolina plus the 7.5.
I'm taking Carolina plus 7.5.
You know what? The Bills' D against the run, not great. They're banged up. The receiving core is banged up. I think 7.5 is too many points, especially down in Carolina. I think the line should be more like 3. I'm taking the Panthers. I'm riding Mike. I'm a believer now. Give me the Panthers plus the 7.5,
Rico,
guys.
Rico Dowdell experience. Go ahead. I mean, boom, does that cover it?
Yeah, you know what? I would say, like I said earlier, they've won 4 out of their last 5 games. 3 of those were all home games, and they've scored over 27 points while at home, running the ball down the throats of the opposing defenses. And this is why this matchup seems to be the pick of the week, I think, for all 3 of us. I'm right there with you guys.
Yeah, I just don't trust Buffalo's rebuilt defense. It's like they built it to beat the Chiefs. One problem. You're not handling anybody else. Give us the 7.5
points. It does
points.
Seem like the books are trying to get you to jump on the Panthers, though, at the 7.5 number. I mean, that's just – and that always
that's
raises an eyebrow.
That's the only thing that would give you pause.
Right, correct. But, you know what? I trust my gut. I'm going with the Panthers.
We're all walking right off a cliff. Yep. Bengals laying 6.5 as they hope. First of all, do you want to know that your team sucks? You are a touchdown underdog to the Bengals. Bengals-Jets.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because the Jets defense has played a lot better the last 2 weeks. They've only given up 26 points, but they can't generate anything on offense. And I'm not really sure who's playing quarterback. They talked about Tyrod Taylor possibly having a knee maintenance issue, but I would think he's going to be the starter. I would not play Justin Fields in this game. Who's going to cover Ja'Marr Chase? 16 catches last week, over 20 targets from Joe Flacco. And it seems like Joe Flacco is doing what he did back in 2023 with the Cleveland Browns. He is pushing back father time. He's having a great time. No interceptions in the last 2 games. He's got 5 touchdown passes, and he's already in sync with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. Give me the Bengals here. I'll lay the points because I just don't see the Jets scoring many points on offense. And by the way, one of the most anemic passing offenses that the NFL has ever seen.
Give me the Bengals. I don't have anything else to say. How about Bucks laying 4.5 at the Saints?
Yeah, this is a huge game for the Bucks. A huge game, especially after what happened to them last week. So they're going to be a bounce-back team. I think Kellen Moore's done a really good job down there in the Saints. They keep them competitive. He's done some nice things with Spencer Rattler, who's averaging over 210 yards passing a game. I just kind of feel like these two teams know each other so well that I do believe the Bucs will win. I think they'll win by a field goal, and therefore I'll take the Saints.
Oh, yeah. This is a Bourbon Street bounce back. They don't turn it over. Last week was a clown car. Rattlers protected the ball. Amen to everything you said with Kellen Moore. They play hard. Nobody loves Baker Moore. I'm just telling you. The Bucs are all kinds of beat up, and you can look at this, Boomer. We call it the Honolulu Blue Fever here in town. When the Lions beat you, they beat you twice. It's like what Alabama used to do to teams in college football. They put a physical toll on you, and the Bucs are all kinds of beat up. They're going on the road in the division. This line looks a little small. Yeah, Saints, play it a week. Love it. Colts laying 14.5 against the Titans.
Ugh. Yeah, you know, one thing I saw last week from the Titans is that things were simpler for Cam Ward, didn't make as many mistakes, but they still got blown out. There's no confidence in the building. I think everybody in that building thinks they're either getting traded or there's going to be a new coach there. And the Titans are one of those teams, there's probably about eight of them right now, where if guys have a question as to whether or not they're going to play, they're not going to play because they don't want to risk injury. They don't want to risk their future. And I hate when a team gets like that. And you're also playing a team that is riding high and playing great, especially at home. I'm going to take the Colts. I'm going to lay the two touchdowns. And I think that Daniel Jones continues his march on the way to possibly an MVP.
Yeah, we picked this because we have to. Would never lay two touchdowns in the NFL, but I'm with Boomer. If you want something sneaky in this game, last time these two teams played, I think they put up 63 total points. The over-under is 46.5. Maybe a little play to the over. You can just root for fun, orange slices, and touchdowns. But Colts lay the 14.5 for me. Broncos laying 3.5,
woo,
hosting the Cowboys.
Now, Denver has won 7 straight meetings versus the Cowboys. I don't know if you know this.
Oh.
How about that?
Take back to, like, Craig Morton?
It goes actually back to 1995. So the last win versus Denver was in 95. And that was the Cowboys' last Super Bowl year that they won. And the head coach at the time was Mike Shanahan. And he was against Barry Switzer. And it was Elway versus Aikman. And it was 51-48. How about that?
Holy hell.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. The 51-48 game was 2013. And that was Peyton Manning, who threw for 414 yards and 4 TDs. And Tony Romo threw for 506 yards and 5 TDs.
Was that Wes Welker's year where he had like 15 TDs? Or am I hallucinating?
You may be hallucinating. I'm not sure. But the point, what I'm trying to make here, when I'm looking at these numbers, I'm like, these two teams get together, they have these memorable games. And you're talking about the best offense in football led by Dak Prescott, who we talked about in the first segment, as a possible MVP candidate.
Yes.
Now he goes against one of the better defenses in football, and I can't wait to see what he can do and whether or not he shreds them. I'm taking the Cowboys here on the
yes.
road.
Yes, this is a play of the week for me. Give me the 3.5. Hey, we're in the mile high. Boomer Aubrey may hit one from 82.
Let's hope he gets a chance.
I'm getting over a field goal with that offense. This Bronco defense has not put it together comprehensively. And I'm telling you, I love what the Cowboys are doing. CeeDee Lamb, the tight end Ferguson, all of it. And yes, George Pickens hasn't been a psychopath this year. It's tremendous. Give me the Cowboys. Love it. Last one. The starch came out of this when Jalen Daniels injury news. The Chiefs are 11.5 point favorites. They welcome in the Commanders on Monday night.
This is one of those, anything can happen in the NFL, but this is not going to happen here. I don't believe so, because the Chiefs are the best balanced team in football right now. We talked about their wide receiver core all now finally being on the field together, and it's starting to show itself. Patrick Mahomes getting himself now elevated into the MVP conversation. I mean, they're locked and loaded. Their defense is great. They can run the ball. They could probably use another a running back if they could trade for one. But, I mean, the way that Patrick's playing, the way their offense is playing, Travis Kelce's back involved again. I mean, I don't know how Marcus Mariota is going to go in there and beat them, because it used to be the defense was the weak part. The offense was really so strong. Now, to me, they complement each other almost equally, and that's what makes them, in my eyes, the best team in the NFL right now, even with three losses. I will go with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was hoping you would just say it. I know you want to. I know your adoration of Patrick Mahomes. Yes, they're back. They're like a barnacle. They're a barnacle on the bottom of a boat. You just can't scrape them off. All right, Chiefs laid 11.5. The plays of the week, by the way. I got three of them. There's three games I actually really like. This is a death sentence. Give me Carolina, play of the week. Saints, play of the week. Cowboys, play of the week. Boomer, play of the week.
All right, I got the Cowboys, play of the week. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers, play of the week. And I will take the Ravens.
All right. Don't make a move. We got a lot more coming up. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valeni.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right, we got a lot of ground to cover, but we want to start. And it's a little bit of a lighter card this week, but the game of the week. I do think this game is very interesting on Sunday. Packers, 3-point favorites. They travel to Pittsburgh. Normally, this would be Steelers at home, off a loss as an underdog. It's got Mike Tomlin written all over it. I want to know if I'm nuts, Boomer. I kind of like the Pack here.
Yeah, well, Green Bay has lost six straight trips to Pittsburgh. The last time they won in Pittsburgh was in 1970. I do like the Packers as well. And the reason I like them is because of the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense was exposed last week by the Bengals. Now, the Packers do not come in with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they just absolutely tore up that that Steelers defense, and I'm sure that they're still looking for their jock straps and chin straps. However, this is a pass rusher's delight game. You got T.J. Watt here. You got Micah Parsons. I hope both quarterbacks actually make it through the game. And then what I think about Josh Jacobs and what he means to the Green Bay Packers, you know, they got to be able to run the ball effectively against this defense, and then you can go outside and throw one-on-one against their secondary, which is vastly, vastly overrated. The one thing I also will say is that Mike Tomlin, think about this. They have 56 straight games with seven or fewer first quarter points. I mean, wow. That's unbelievable to me. So I think this is going to be low scoring. I took the under in this game, and I do like the Packers, even though they are favored by 2.5.
Yeah, and again, it's not, you can't say that a team who's 4-1-1 is bad, but when you go back to week one, and I understand those results can be volatile, right? You can't trust them the further away from it you get. The Pack haven't looked impressive. And I'm not going to just hold the Dallas game against them. I didn't like the way they looked against the Browns, obviously. Don't like how they looked against the Bengals. I didn't like how they looked last week against Cardinals.
But you know what happened with them last week, right? You know they had a plane delay for 7 hours.
Oh, poor babies.
Well, I know it's poor babies, but it does have an effect. It was almost like they were sleepwalking the first half of the game, but when they needed to turn it on, they turned it on.
Then this is the week they put it all together, right? Do you like, let me ask you this question, just from a quarterback perspective. What do you make of Jordan Love? Not the numbers. When you watch him play, Do you feel like he's playing really well?
I give him a B+. I don't give him an A or an A+. Okay. You know, I think he's playing well. I don't think he's playing great. I think he looks comfortable. He looks calm. I told you I love their head coach, Matt LaFleur. You know, when I think about coach and quarterback combinations, I would put them probably in the top five. That's how much I respect their head coach and I respect their offense. I mean, I do think that they're looking for one of those signature wins. They had one week one, of course, but this would be a really, really big win for them. And, you know, when I think about their team, I still think that they believe, and they may make another trade, by the way. I still think that they are a team that believes that they have what it takes to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
Yeah, they need a receiver. I just think they have a collection of twos. They don't have a number one. And even the kid they drafted, Matthew Golden out of Texas, he's more of a trinket. They need something to open up that offense because the running game, it's not where it needs to be. And I think part of it is they're just lacking through the air. But I'll go Pack. I'll lay the three. I don't feel great about it. But one of these weeks, I feel like Green Bay is going to put it together again and go, oh, okay, they are still really good. Now, we have a grab bag here. I'm excited to do this because I've been informed by our master of ceremonies, Brian Riscona. This is a Jets-free segment.
Thank God.
Yeah, we're going to lay off the Jets this week, guys. You know, I mean, enough is enough. What hasn't been said? What hasn't been said that hasn't already been said? Does that make sense? Or has been
yeah,
said
it makes sense to me.
There you go. All right. So we're going to lay off the Jets this segment. So my first question to you guys is, are we at a point where we could consider Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor the best QB RB tandem in the league, Boomer?
Wow. That's saying a lot. I think Jonathan Taylor's up there, and I think the first seven games for Daniel Jones have been amazing. Maybe we could say it to this point. I want to see it for the entire season because watching Daniel Jones be the giant quarterback and get hurt in the middle of these seasons and basically those seasons come crashing down, I have to see a full season before I can say that at the end of the season. So, yes, I will pacify you and Michael, and I will say, okay, I can see where you're coming from, and I can agree with that.
Yeah, I look, the health is everything. I'm not, you're not wrong, Boomer, but we're having fun for today. So like, hey, through week eight, do you, you know, dot, dot, dot. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have it on my bingo board. That's for sure. But they are legit. And he's doing it with his legs. He's pushing the ball down the field, making throws you never got to see here in New York. And Jonathan Taylor, every week we look up, hey, look, another 30-yard touchdown run. Yeah, I'll go with it.
I was just thinking the only other combination you would think would be Matthew Stafford and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Well, that's what led me to this because I'm thinking, like, you know, between the injuries and everything and Derrick Henry not being Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson being injured, I'm like, wow, this Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor could be the best.
Goff and, you got Goff and Gibbs. You'd have Allen and Cook.
You'd have Javonte Williams and Dak Prescott.
Now that one's intriguing because Javonte looks like the player he was drafted to be. He looks great.
And by the way, at the end of the year, Dart and Scataboo.
Okay, then.
How about that?
Yeah, right. Right. All right, go ahead, Scott.
That does lead us to the Giants. Mike, this is for you being a Giants fan. Was the Broncos comeback in the fourth quarter against the Giants the craziest regular season comeback you have ever seen?
I mean, it's got to be close. You give up 33 in a fourth quarter that doesn't feature a pick six or a special teams bust. Yeah, it's a special kind of collapse. I think Vikings Colts from a few years ago, I mean, it was like 31-3. I was on an airplane. By the time I got to my car, it was a 7-point game. I'm going, what the hell did I miss? Was I in a vortex or a flight to Japan? You know, it's funny, Scones. You got the DeSean Jackson thing on here.
I was in the house that day. I felt terrible.
I'll never forgive Matt Dodge from East Carolina. I hope he has a lifetime of diarrhea. Just don't kick it to DeSean. Cutscene. I kicked it to DeSean. No, but I'll say it's the worst I've seen. Yeah.
All right. The worst you've seen because you had a personal attachment to it. I also had a personal attachment to one of the greatest comebacks, therefore collapses ever. And that was obviously the Bills and the Oilers in the playoffs. And my college roommate was Frank Reich. And he led the greatest second half comeback in playoff history, football history, maybe even it's probably still NFL history, but that was crazy. And by the way, I was in the studio that day and I told the ABC audience, don't turn the TV off because I saw this guy do this in college to the University of Miami and Bernie Kosar.
My God. Yeah, no, that one's an all-timer because it's playoffs and you had a Hall of Fame quarterback. It wasn't like you had, you know, Brandon Allen at quarterback. Go ahead, Scones.
All right, Aaron Rodgers' comments about the game this weekend against Green Bay. It's not a revenge game, and he plans to retire as a Packer. Is he for real? Is he BSing everybody?
He's BSing everybody. Come on, man. This is all real. When he left there, it was ugly. Didn't like the GM, didn't like the coach. They were ushering him out. You know, the one thing they did do for him anyway, they sent him to a team he wanted to go to. Even though it didn't work out for the Jets, all I know is if I ever play the next team, I wanted to win, and I wanted to win in the worst way. So he can downplay this all he wants. This is one of the reasons why we're all going to be watching, is because it's him against the Packers.
Boomer, how much of that, I don't want to say hyperbole, like when you talk about it's a revenge game, you want to win more, but like how much does that truly elevate your play, or can that work against you a little bit?
No, I think if you ever watch Tom Brady, when he used to get on the sideline, he'd really get angry at himself, and he'd start throwing his helmet, and he'd start screaming at people. The reason he was doing that is because he felt like he was flat going into the game, and he had to get himself into the game. He had to get angry. You have to play angry. You got to play with a slow heartbeat if you're a quarterback, but you have to play like competitive football. And that's exactly what Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo have done for the Giants. They're physically competitive football players that have brought a new energy to that team. And believe you me, Aaron Rodgers all this week, going over every little thing, working a little harder in practice, making sure that he knows the game plan inside and out, giving tips to his teammates. He wants to be able to walk off of this field held high, with his helmet held high, knowing that he beat his former team.
Where the hell was this? We selected the Packers. I feel like I'm walking into a death trap here. Yeah, you just scared the hell out of me.
Well, I didn't say he's going to win. I just said that what he is saying is BS. That's basically what I'm answering the question that Scones is asking me.
I agree. Way to stay focused. All right, go ahead, Brian.
We'll skip McDaniel. We did enough of him already this year.
Yeah, I can't take it anymore.
Right, we'll go to McCaffrey. Guys, here's my question. This is personal because I over-fantasized on my fantasy team. I took Brian Robinson Jr. and McCaffrey because he's never been healthy. How is McCaffrey staying healthy this year? He's peeing me off right now.
And you know what? They're handing him the ball, man. He's one of the reasons why they're winning. He takes so much pressure off of whoever is playing quarterback. You know what? I think it's just Saquon Barkley's having an off year this year because last year he had that explosion year. Because McCaffrey got hurt last year, this year he comes back. He's not used as much as he was the previous year. And now all of a sudden he's got a jump in his step. I mean, when you watch him play, he looks like he did a few years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. So I think it has more to do with what happened to him last year. And now they're asking him to do it once again this year. And I see that hop in his step, and it looks like he's really healthy.
Yeah. I mean, he leads the league in touches. Can it keep up? I can't predict injuries. Maybe it's his year. Maybe he'll survive it. They don't have any other way out, Scones. But could I see him breaking down? Yeah, of course. Look at injuries in the league. It's chaos. Right now I'm with Boomer. He looks fresh. He looks durable. You don't see him wearing down in games, and I'm going to have to roll with it.
All right, guys, the Super Bowl, all right, in 2027 is scheduled on Valentine's Day. The ladies are going to love this. Does this mean we are looking at an 18-game season next year, and is there a Euro division in the mix with these 18 games, Boom?
All right, so this is my inside stuff, what I believe is going to happen. You're not going to see an 18-game season next year, but you may see it in 2028 or 2027 going into 2028, because I do believe that Roger Goodell will open the CBA. I believe Roger Goodell is going to be opening next year. He's going to try to reopen all the broadcasting network contracts, and I do believe we're going to see an 18-game season. I also think that they're going to start on Labor Day weekend. They will end on President's Day weekend. They saw this year just how popular college football was opening weekend, which was Labor Day weekend, and I think the NFL is going to want a piece of that.
Okay, he's right. As long as we don't end up with a Euro division, I'll just live with it. But the 18 games, what has to come with this, it's got to be fair to the players, and I know nobody wants to hear that. We have to expand rosters. These teams can't make it through a 16-game and now a 17-game season. What do you think adding an 18th game?
They will expand the rosters. They'll pay the players more money, and they'll give them double buys during the season.
Yeah, necessary. If that happens, yes. Because you know what I don't like, Boomer? And you know this. We'll be sitting here a little over a month from now with a month to go in the season, and we're going to see 17-point spreads, teams with 19 guys on IR, it hurts the product because, Boomer, the season's getting longer. You know what's not happening? The players aren't getting slower, smaller, you know, less physical. They've got to have an eye on the product, and I know it's money. I understand it. But you keep the NFL the elite product it is. That's just my thing. Whatever they do, you got to have an eye on quality, and you got to take care of your players.
Expand to 63 players on the team and then expand the practice squad from there. Yes. That's the only way you could do it, to make it through an 18-game season.
Maybe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all. This is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
At that point, Joe Shane will be able to field a secondary.
What all right, lastly, quickly, real quick, Shedeur Sanders, does he start the season at all?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God, simultaneous.
How about that? We said it at the same time. We both believe he's going to get a guess, 100%.
He'll get a start because I think at some point the big red phone is going to ring, and it's going to be demanded from above.
And we need to sell tickets, and we need to sell jerseys.
That's right. All right, we said a lot in this episode, and it was Jets-free, nice and light. Tune in next week. We'll do it all over again. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Doug.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.